naked shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody, to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia. We're broadcasting live here in an undisclosed location in the universe. This is Iggy Garcia Live, episode 105. And my guest today is Julie North. We'll get with her in a minute, but before we start every show, we do a little ceremony. We give thanks to our ancestors. We give thanks to all those people who have trailblazed the path for us, got us to the place we are, regardless if we agree or disagree or didn't like their history. They took some part in who we are today. So, and here we go. Light a candle. This candle will burn throughout the show. I want to give thanks to everything that's been good in my life, everything that's come in, and everything that's been a blessing. Negative or positive, because, you know, in one way or another, it all brings us to a certain place to remember, to focus, and to concentrate on the things that really, really motivate us and move us. So I want to give thanks to my mom and my dad and grandma, grandpa, and everybody who set the path for me and did a lot of work to get me where I'm at. And there was a lot of sex involved in that. Yes, there was. All right. And then we're a little sage here. Cleanse the space, cleanse the area. Love this stuff. Atacuyasin, Itrisiqui, Ho'oponopono. It's good to be here. All right. Perfect. Now I feel great. We're all jacked, livened up. Well, I want to welcome everybody to the show. So tonight, my guest is Julie North. A lot of you may know her. If you don't know her, I'll give her a little opportunity to share who she is in her own words versus my words. So Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's good to be here. And it's good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a while.
I haven't seen you in a while either. So this is a great opportunity.
All right. So today, just tell us a little bit about who you are and just give us a short, you know, story. Julie North, so our listeners can kind of get a little feel of who you are and what's going to be happening.
Who I am is probably a broad spectrum of things, depending upon from what facet, you know, you connect to me in. On a professional level, I'm a medium and medical intuitive. I see clients in one-on-one sessions around the world on the phone or prior to the lockdown in person at the office here. But and really, I think predominantly revolve those sessions around communicating to people what their guides are saying to them in response to wherever they are in their life or what they're stuck on or what their struggles might be around that. It's dictated by their guides. I teach workshops and classes on self-development and dealing with energy sensitivities, releasing judgment, teach a manifesting class. So there's a spectrum of things. I've done some teen classes, helping young people kind of get comfortable with their inherent intuitive skills. Those were, you know, my favorites to do was working with the young people. I was the ceremonial center director for Rootwire Transformational Music and Arts Festival for a number of years. That was a huge love of mine, you know, being able to be a part of a group that's creating an experience for conscious expansion, really. And so I brought in teachers and lecturers and practitioners from all over the world to give workshops for free, you know, anybody that came to the festival. And it kind of became a great big, you know, couple thousand people family. That festival is not going on anymore, but the event itself and concepts like that, I'm, you know, very aligned with. On a personal level, you know, I live in Ohio. I'm an avid organic gardener, kind of like a mini farm here. And I'm pretty obsessed with growing anything. If it grows, I probably have it. I love art, you know. I have do stained glass, so I have endless hobbies.
Awesome. Well, that's great. I'm glad that you're going to spend a little time with us here. I wanted you to come on because you have a very unique perspective on things, and knowing you for some time, you know, in the past, we've done some things where we were trying to do intentional communities and try to do things. Mm-hmm. Some of those things panned out, some of those things didn't. It's just how it is. But I was talking to you, you know, off air before we were on air. We were talking about how life just kind of abruptly changed for everybody. I mean, it was just like, you know, I'm like, yeah, 2020 is going to be a good year. And then, boom, you know, I just got hit. I hit like a ton of rocks. Yeah. And it was kind of a weird place. So I know you probably had a much different experience than I probably did. We all do, of course. So tell us a little bit what you've been doing in the quarantine state here, or isolation. Some people like to call isolation. They don't like the word quarantine.
So, you know, for me, and I think, and I don't think I'm the only person, there's been some change because of the quarantine and the state lockdown. In some ways, not a lot. You know, I worked from home already. I have a home office. And so, you know, I didn't cease going to some office somewhere. I'm still working from home. It's just mm-hmm. everyone's on the phone. Yeah. You know, I have a large social circle, and I have a lot of connections that I do things with or events mm-hmm. that I go to. That has ceased. So that's changed. The nice thing about it for me is that I'm a person who likes a lot of things. And I always have a lot of things that I want to be doing. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, gardening is a big one. And this is a big season for that. So in the spring, I'm always really struggling with this juggle of all these things that I really love that I want to do, but I kind of don't have a lot of time for. And without having clients at the house here, like, there's been a drastic reduction in like how often I have to vacuum my floors and basic things that don't bother me if I've tracked dirt in and out. But if I had clients coming to the house, I would have to vacuum every day. And it sounds like a simple, silly little thing. Yeah. But what I've learned in that process and this change is I had no idea how much time I was spending every day doing basic kind of menial housekeeping tasks and things like that, mm-hmm. that didn't seem that big of a deal, but I have so much more time now since I'm not doing those. And that's really made me take a good look at just the habits, you know, that I had. Interesting. And I love people. I absolutely love people. And if you had asked me, you know, previously how would I feel in a quarantine? Everybody knows that I leave my house to go do events, but I kind of don't like leaving my house. I'm a homebody. I created a great oasis here for myself, and I'd much rather have everybody here than me go somewhere. But I would have told you that, you know, I wouldn't have liked a quarantine, but I have found it to be very, like, I feel like I can exhale, you know, I'm still working, so that hasn't changed for me. I'm seeing a lot less people. I still love those people. I still sure. want to see them at some point, mm-hmm. but I feel so much less pressed for time. That's been the biggest thing, is that I didn't realize how pressed for time I always was, because I had so many things I wanted to do, not things that I had to do. Mm-hmm. Things that I wanted to do. And by just taking some of those things off of my potential plate, you know, I breathe better. And so that's got me looking at, okay, when I reemerge in the world, how do I want to do that? Do I want to go back to that run that I loved?
Right.
But, you know, everybody's getting this great opportunity right now. And we talked a little bit about this before the show started, you know, to reevaluate who you are, what's going on, right. how you're operating. And this really is a changing experience, even for the people that are still essential workers and still going to work. It's their experience has changed. Right. And for the vast majority of people, we're having to look at just those things. Like, what are my habits? What are the choices that I've been making that have led me to here? You know, what do I want to continue? When I emerge from this cocoon, what do I want that to look like? And, you know, and I'm looking at those things too. And, sure. and reprioritizing, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think for me, I obviously, because of the work that I do, I talk to a lot of people every day, and I find that most people are finding out that they don't actually like the life that they had. And they're they're really wanting to change it. They want some sense of normalcy, but if you ask them, it's, they want to go back to normal, you know? And I always find that fascinating because you can't go back to anything, right? You want to move forward. Right. So what do you want to move forward to? And the reason that people want to go back is because familiarity breeds comfort. It brings a sense of security and familiarity. But if you actually think about it, as some of these people, they weren't loving that experience. They just love the familiarity, the sense of safety, and not knowing what's coming, not knowing what life is going to look like, is making people feel uncomfortable and unsure. So they want to go back. And if you say, well, what do you want to go forward to? They don't know. Because we were talking about before the show started, you know, most people don't actually know themselves. It's not a fault. It's just it's a consequence of a lifestyle, you know. And this opportunity, so they know they don't want to go back to what they had or how that functioned, but they don't actually know what they want to go to. And that makes emerging scarier, I think, for people.
Yeah, I know that. And earlier shows, when the quarantine began, I also talked about this being a new renaissance, a new time to develop new skills, a work skills that you had and you didn't have time for, and come out, create creativity, be creative, be into things that you probably, this was the opportunity, this is the time to kind of guide yourself into that direction. And I agree with you. This is a time to question, you know, Was my old life okay, or could I do better? We were kind of forced into the situation where we had to be in these lockdowns and kind of look at all the people around, all the players, and you know, your space that you're in, and just, you know, life was put on halt for a minute.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't go back to the lives that they had because, number one, a lot of their lives was their job. They surrounded things around their job, so they lost their jobs. They've lost connections with people. And that's one of the biggest things. I saw a lot of severed connections, but you know, those could be temporary and those could be forever. Who knows? Regardless, but it happens. It happens when you have a lot of time to think and process, and sit there in your own little world. Well, what am I going to do today? Can't sleep until 11 because you know, you get to the point where you don't want to sleep anymore unless you're staying up late. Mm-hmm. So I found it really interesting. And I know there's been a lot of stuff about the virus, and I think we'll cover that. Untun times on Facebook and posted and sent you or me tons of videos and all kinds of stuff. So I really don't want to go down that rabbit hole because that rabbit hole, you know, has too many rabbits in them, you know, and I don't even want to go down a rabbit hole. I want to create this new nest, this empowering place.
Right.
You know, so this is kind of where I'm trying to take my energy, and I'm not sure how you're looking at that. I'm looking to help people empower themselves, you know, kind of just jump in the front and then they just kind of go off wherever they need to go.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, right from the very beginning, I knew immediately that the thing for me to do, the thing that was resonant for me that I felt really called to do, was to help people as much as I, as from the corner of the world that I work in, right? And right off the bat, you know, I'm on social media and I saw musicians posting, you know, concerts from their bedroom and things like that. Yeah. And I that was great and it was amazing. And I looked at that and I went, okay, well, you know, a lot of people, a lot of my particular demographic, my clientele, don't have or didn't have necessarily any familiarity with like online classes, online workshops. They're very in person. So they might have some technology, but they wouldn't have considered themselves comfortable with it because it's not what they grew up in necessarily. And I wanted to be able to offer just what you were talking about, opportunities for growth, expansion, things to think about. That normally I would do, you know, paid classes for. So I started doing all these free classes online, and I did these training classes for anybody that wanted to come on Zoom. the same platform that you use, to train my people how to use this so that they didn't get left behind in this wave of opportunities that were that was going to come through their computer screen or their phone screen. Because, you know, and we touched on this earlier before the show, when you create something, you know, or when you provide an opportunity for someone, someone can't choose into that. They can't say this is for me or this is not for me if they don't even know it exists or if they don't have access to it either way. So for me, it was a matter of, you know, putting out to my, you know, my big mailing list, like, here's the platform, it's free. And I'm going to give some training sessions so you can come and practice this, you know, this Zoom format, so you can take any of these classes for free from me or from anybody else.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter to me whether they were coming to my classes. It mattered to me that people had accessibility to connect in those things. And then if they wanted to come to my classes too, great. You know, so one of the classes that I felt really called to give was this, was the difference between what's resonant and what you want. And we were talking, you know, just a few minutes ago about trying to figure out who you are and what you want and what's resonant for you. And, you know, there's a difference between that. And I felt like there was no better time than right now when everybody's sitting around going, what do I do? What do I want? Or maybe I don't want this, but I don't know what I want. There was no better time to share that concept with people than now, because this is the petri dish. This is the incubator. Mm-hmm. You know, if people come out of their quarantine, their stay at home order, their cocoon, whatever it is that they're calling it, you know, and they don't have any direction for where they want, if they don't have any pull, the likelihood of them going back to their status quo, whether they liked it or not, whether it worked for them or not, the likelihood of them going back to their status quo is high. So, you know, trying what someone wants isn't super relevant to me. The fact that they can figure out what they want, that matters. It's like what people think doesn't matter to me. The fact that you can think matters to me. And so, you know, that's been my personal kind of calling through this process, is to provide opportunities for people who feel called to those particular opportunities to figure out who they are and what they want, and self-care, you know, and interact, create a greater sense of balance, because whatever you're growing in this petri dish, that's what's going to come out at the end. What do you want to come out of that?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that, because right now it's growing, but right now what's happening is I think a lot of people are going to come out and be like, okay. It's kind of like the butterflies opening up its wings and like dry in the air, you know, as long as no one messes with it and it's your thought and you're kind of growing through it, it's good. I know there's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of people going, hey, okay, what's going on? So that's kind of why I brought you on the show today too, is kind of that's my ideas for people. How to reconnect or connect, find a new way to address their feelings, their thoughts. And, you know, the reason I'm doing my shows more regularly is because I found that people wanted to connect more. And I do these little town halls every 2 weeks where I get people on here, anybody can just join in and share their thoughts. And, you know, you learn really quickly what your community is looking for and what's wanted and what's needed. So it's been a big plus. I've been enjoying my my isolation and my lockdown, but work is coming, and so that's kind of the question I proposed to you. I mean, how do we get people to step into their own power, you know, during this time, especially when we're getting ready to come outside of it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. We were just having this conversation earlier today, a friend and I, that the current circumstances, I think really, whether people realized it or not, for a long time, they've been operating in some form of should, you know, victim mode, obligatory behavior mode. And maybe it wasn't so bad, but it wasn't fully in free will choice, at least from a conscious standpoint. And so, you know, I think when you look at coming out of this, if you're, how do I emerge? It's a matter of, one, I think you have to give yourself permission to change. I think that is huge, because the culture itself that we most of us have grown up in is one that teaches a tremendous amount of should and obligatory behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, you should keep a clean house. You should do this. You should be nice. And we do those things, but I don't think we consider our own interests and needs as quickly as we consider the shoulds. And I think, you know, this particular time frame is allowing people to kind of get more in touch with themselves so that when they come back out into the world, they can bring a better balance. So I would encourage people to, one, you know, give yourself permission to change. I'm allowed to change. I'm allowed to change my mind. I'm allowed to not have the answers, right?
Yes.
The culture, you know, I'm a person who asks questions a lot, like in a conversation or if you're my friend or we're hanging out, like I ask a lot of questions.
Yeah. And I know that person.
And I found out, you know, how that people are really intimidated by that. Because the culture, I think in it by and large, if someone's asking you a question, it's so that they can judge you. It's so that they can tell you how you're wrong or how you could do it better. And that didn't even occur to me for a long time. You know, somebody actually had to explain that to me. I still ask a lot of questions. I just qualify it now with like, I'm not telling you you're wrong. but you know, that's how I engage. Like, how am I going to seek knowing you if I can't ask you questions? Right. And so I think that, you know, permission that the culture, because it doesn't make it easy to ask questions. Mm-hmm. There's this sense that if you don't have the answer, there's something wrong with you. You're not smart. You're underqualified. You don't have it together. You know, how can you have a plan if you don't have the answers? And so, you know, when you ask someone a question like, well, what do you think about that? There's this pressure in them to have a fully formed conclusion and plan. And, yeah. And that's a cultural problem, right? So when you give yourself permission to, I don't have to have the answer to that right now, then I think you free yourself from that concept of I have to know by the time I come out of quarantine, I have to know what I'm going to do for the next 30 years. You can't know that.
No.
There's no way, you know? So I've been really encouraging people, you know, at the request of the guides to, you know, if people could learn to speak to themselves and others in temporary terms. Give yourself permission to change, give yourself permission to not know, and then speak in temporary terms. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to play with this. I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to dabble in it. You know, I'm going to check it out. Then what it does is it gives you permission to step into it, but you're not obligated to it for the next 30 years. So you can say, I'm going to go check out being, you know, making pottery. And it's not a 30-year commitment that you have to do, right? You just, but that's the thing. People don't get into things. They don't try things out because the culture has taught this level of commitment that is like a prison.
Interesting.
Right. So when someone doesn't know who they are, or maybe they know, think they know who they are, but they don't know what they want. They know they don't want this, but I don't know what I want. They need to explore, right? They need to go try things out. But if you culturally have a program that says, I can't really do that because it's a waste of time. If I don't stick with it, it's a waste of money. If I spend $800 on a pottery class, and I don't end up really liking pottery, or even I don't even want to finish the 6-week course, whatever it is, it's a waste of money. All this concept of, you know, waste, if it's not something that you do forever, really comes out of an old survival behavior where you picked something that the community needed and you became that blacksmith or you became that cooper or you became, you know, that veterinarian and you stayed with that. And that was your security and that's what kept you safe. And so, you know, most of us grew up in an environment where we were taught that you pick something, you stay, you know, you get an education around it, you stay with it throughout your whole life, you continue to progress and it creates safety and stability. It's this ladder climbing concept, but the world doesn't work that way right now. And that leaves no room for personal interest or resonance, right? Yeah. It doesn't work that way. And so, you know, like I said, I think speaking to the self in temporary terms, permission to change and permission to not have the answer, those are key.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you brought that up because for many years I've had several mentors who would tell me, stop asking people what they think, ask them how they feel. You know, How do you feel about this versus how you think about it? Because most people are not, like you said, are not qualified to answer the question. Mm-hmm. But they're qualified to feel. They're qualified to know what that feel, that energy feels like to them. And when I asked that question, it was like, you see this little face a little bit. Some people get it. Some people are like, feel. I never thought I had to feel about anything. But then it takes it out of that, you know, that ego mind, that intrinsic thinking, you know, it takes you more into the feeling. Oh, yeah, I feel this way. My belief is this. I really resonate and I understand what I'm, what you're asking now versus what make me think, because then you put me on the spot. So I use that a lot, especially I use that a lot on my posts. I ask people how they feel because it's a whole different question.
Yeah.
It's a whole different way of asking something that is actually personal to you or not personal to you. So then you don't have any ownership to it if it's not connected.
Right.
Then
right.
You have and to, like, process.
One of the things that I see, because I ask that same kind of question, like, how do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. And I notice a lot of knee-jerk responses, like for most people, when you ask them that question, at least when I ask them that question, the knee-jerk response is like, oh, it's fine. And if you just sit for a minute, then they go, maybe no, it's not really that fine. But the knee-jerk response from a cultural standpoint is to make everything fine. It's okay, right? To mm-hmm. not engage with how I feel, because that might make me want to step outside of the lines,
right?
And so they're not used to engaging in that. You're right. It does cause them to check in. I think if you give them the opportunity and they take it, it gives them a chance to check in with where they are in ways that they don't normally. I think like you, you know, I find that an important opportunity to be offering people, you know, and it's kind of sounds like you're in alignment with that too, that, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe you don't like me, you don't care what they feel as much as that they might be checking in with what they feel, you know?
Right.
So I see it kind of as part of my job to kind of help people remember to check in with themselves.
Because, I mean, doing this work, you and I understand, so people understand this in general, that you can only work from memory and experiences. So mm-hmm. your brain is trying to go through all the filing cabinets in the mind, trying to go, okay, what does that look like? How does that relate to this if you don't have an experience to it? You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like when the indigenous people of this country in 1492, when Christopher Columbus pulled up in this big boat, they didn't see the boat. They didn't see the ship. They had no reference of the ship. They had no clue that it even came. It's kind of like us. You know, we have these things in front of us. Sometimes we don't have any reference point because we've never seen it before. And so this pandemic, this situation we're in, we've never seen it before. We have no reference points. And all of a sudden we're like, what do we do? What do we say? You know, we're kind of like, it's mm-hmm. new territory for me, new territory for you. I don't know anybody on here who's been in a pandemic or crisis like this, a worldwide crisis like that.
Yeah.
There are things right in front of us that we're totally missing because we've never seen it before, that we don't have any clue, but it's starting to come into the forefront. We're starting to see it now. We're starting to understand that energy, what's cycling now. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I kind of gather.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people seeing things around them that it's not necessarily that those things are new. They're just, the people were too busy to notice. You know, I live in the city. I'm very blessed in that I've got, a lot here that I have a lot of nature in. But even at that, you know, the reduction in traffic and the amount of extra time that I have now, like I'm noticing more wildlife and I hear it a lot more. The ambient noise from just kind of the city shutting down, you know, has allowed for me to be more aware of other things that are around me. And maybe some of that has increased and maybe it's just now to in the forefront because there's nothing else competing with it at this point.
Maybe it was there the whole time, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that some of it was there, but, you know, how many birds am I going to be able to hear with constant traffic?
True.
You know, so I think the birds may have increased, but I also think my personal awareness has increased around those things. So there's, you know, there's a growth in it. There's less conflict for that sound wave, you know, and my awareness level has changed. And I think that kind of process is really happening to a lot of people, not necessarily with nature, but, you know, with whatever might be going on in their world. There's just a growing awareness of what is around me and what's in front of me, you know, an opportunity to see.
Yeah, I know when you step outside, I start to notice things that probably were there. Maybe they start to notice, well, I don't remember that being there. I don't remember all there. You know, there's more deer over here. There's a coyote come across my Ring app, you know, on my door. You know, you see things. You know, it's like you start to see these things that you didn't notice. But they've been there, but we just have, it's quiet now. Like one of my clients today, when I was at her house, she says, I can hear the traffic today. She goes, I usually couldn't hear anything. You can hear it. Now you can hear the freeway. It's gotten busier. Mm-hmm. She made a comment like that. I didn't, like I said, I didn't really notice it because I'm out and about. She's been in quarantine. She's not been anywhere. You go, yeah, I can hear it now that you mentioned it. Then those jet planes came by, the big jet planes and the, mm-hmm. and the cargo plane. And I was like, what is that? I was like freaked out for like 2 seconds. And I was like, heard it. And I look up and I was like, yeah, kind of like wasn't expecting that. Cause I haven't been watching the news, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of disconnect myself from the news a little bit. Kind of freaked me out for a sec.
I noticed that, you know, I've always known that I've been really sensitive to ambient noise, right? I'm easily triggered by noise, whether it's like the clicking of something or I'm soothed by it, you know, either end of the spectrum.
Sure.
And I had, you know, grown accustomed to, you know, I don't live on a super busy street, but it's busy enough. I'd grown accustomed to that noise. I live near a little college airport. And so, you know, the little biplanes and occasional private jet that comes in there, I'd grown accustomed to those things. And when they went away, I noticed that like, oh, this feels good, right? Like this feels great. I grew up in the country, so this feels great. But what was most interesting to me was that as the traffic started picking back up a little bit, which it's just been doing in the last, you know, week or so,
right?
I noticed that I was irritated, you know, visibly, you know, viscerally irritated by the sound of those tires on the road. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, I've been listening to that for 30 years in one form or another. And I've been tuning it out, you know, like a lot of things, you just throw them into the background, especially if you're overly sensitive to them. But that doesn't change the fact that that's been a background irritant or a subcurrent irritant in my world all along. But having it go away for a little while and gave me that break. And when it returned, now I have a really clear picture of just what that's doing to my nervous system.
Okay. You know? Interesting.
And, you know, when they start flying planes again in and out of that airport, I'm not manifesting that I'm going to lose my mind, but I'm sure I'm going to be irritated, right, about that.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for me to see how many things that I'm not actually in control of. Like I'm not in control of the traffic. I'm not in control of the planes. I'm not in control of the birds. But the things that are just in the world around me have an impact on me in ways that I've been dealing with them for so long. I just didn't even know, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because I've noticed in the traffic is people just right up on you and just like no sense of like there's like it's like lawlessness a little bit like no, it's like, you know, that's a red light, you know, and like but no, really, people just like, I feel like I'm in Peru, you know, when the traffic is like right on you.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was like that before or not. Maybe it was. I just, the energy is like, can you like, you know, be on my back? It's not like, it's, I don't know. It's just really, those are the things that kind of trigger me a little bit lately.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been out, honestly. Yeah. I haven't been out since February. But I will tell you that my perspective has always been that in traffic, there is no social distancing, right? Traffic is always, to me, like I am in the slipstream of everybody's angst.
Yeah.
Right? I gotta get there. I have to get there right now. And I feel like I'm driving in the tail of their comet of angst.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is, and I just always notice that. So I'm easily irritated, you know, in town traffic. I like to get out on the freeway and, you know, be away from all of that. But in town traffic, I think that's kind of always been a thing. And it's interesting that you know, and maybe it's gotten worse, you know, while we're in quarantine, and you would know that. But also, it might be the same thing that I've been having, like where you're getting this extra space and this extra time in your world. Now you're really noticing how much the drivers are like up on you.
Yeah, you know, it's like crazy. And it's getting a little bit more each day because more cars. But it's been kind of interesting when there's no cars on the road. Like you'll drive down the road in the morning, there's nobody. Like,
yeah.
Goes
down. I think too, you know, the pandemic is not something people can control.
No.
They can't control that. They can't control what the big businesses are doing. They can't control the conspiracy theories. Like basically, a lot of people, I think, are just not feeling like they're in control of their world. They don't realize where their power sits, right? The things sure. that they thought they had control of have been changed, altered, removed. And so in driving, I think people feel like they're in charge. And this
I
is,
think,
I think people have a tendency, especially the more out of control they feel or the more out of control they feel their life is, I think the more tendency there is to try to control in other places that may or may not be great places to be exercising that mm-hmm. level of control. And so, you know, people who feel like they can't control their finances right now might be trying to control their neighbor instead, you know.
Okay.
And this misappropriation of like, I'm trying to get a sense of empowerment back through control. And I think that's a common problem, to confuse control with empowerment. But I see a lot of people doing it. I think it's kind of human instinct to scramble, you know, to try to get that back, especially if you feel disempowered, which is what's happening for a tremendous number of people right now, is they feel unempowered. And if you add to that, you know, the job change, the work change, the social changes, you know, any of those things, and then mm-hmm. you add if they're having any fear or if they're having any irritations, on top of all of that, you have this soup of emotions that is ladled out with the ladle of uncertainty, and people are flailing, you know, for yeah. where do I get my footing?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I've noticed being since I've been out from time to time, and my job requires me to be out from the work.
Sure.
I'm noticing that how people are in these little mini camps. Maybe it's temporary, maybe it's, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. You got the masks and you got the unmasks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like the unmasks are kind of the minority to some degree, depending what store you go to, depending where you're at.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the masks become the minority, depending on the situation. I found that really interesting, and I'm watching, I'm going, this is pretty, it's like a social experiment almost for me. And you yeah. know, it's, yeah.
I've seen some of that too. I have been out a little bit. I have chickens, and
oh, okay.
And so I have to go to like the feed store, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, not super easy to access, like within the city. And so, you know, if I just recently started going to the grocery store instead of like doing curbside pickup or delivery mm-hmm. or something like that. And if you go somewhere, at least my experience, if I go somewhere in the city, the vast majority of people are masked, and I'm, you know, because of the nature of how I'm made, what I do for a living, like I kind of know what they're thinking, what they're doing. And I go in the grocery store, you know, and people are masked, and the people who are masked are judging, like the vast majority of the judgment is coming from the people who are masked. But if I go out into the country to the feed store and go in the farm supply store there, like nobody's masked. But I'm masked and maybe one other person in the whole store. And the level of judgment is predominantly coming from the unmasked people. So what I've kind of noticed, and this may not be like any widespread scientific thing, but from my perspective, like the energy is stronger when the mass is on your side. And I don't mean like there's six people, so their energy is just greater. I mean, there's a sense of entitlement to that judging when you are in the majority that I am witnessing, you know, yeah. when it would have been, you know, 50-50, like right at the very beginning of when the governor here was requiring masks and I did have to go to the grocery for something, and it was about 50-50. And it was kind of just a mishmash of like people going, why aren't you wearing a mask? Why are you wearing a mask? Not that they were asking that, but from an energetic standpoint. Mm-hmm. But once there became a swing in the pendulum to one side or the other, I really noticed the change in entitlement to judge around that. Mm-hmm. The power of the collective that gives them a sense of righteousness or power. And I think that happens to all of us.
Yes.
You know, and whether it's, and again, you know, you and I, neither one want to dive into conspiracy theories or any of those things. That's not where our energy is. But I do think that in those processes, when you band together with people who think like you do, it's easy to feel entitled to judge people who don't think like you do. And I think that's one of the disempowering things that's going on, is that when you judge others, you cut off your opportunity to think outside of the lines. You know, the mere act of judging someone else means that you also have to hold yourself accountable to that. So that doesn't give you permission to change. Yeah. You know, you have to stay, and you've been judging other people, so you can't lose face. You have to stay with this, or you know, stay with the narrative, stay with the story. And I think that's really challenging for people, especially for people who are very tied to their, like, where they have their value system tied to what others think of them.
Yeah, you know? It's just funny because I just noticed that. I mean, I did notice another thing at the store. You know, they had different exits. Well, the unmasks go around. It's just my perception. This is what I'm perceiving.
Yeah.
And then the masks go right through the exit. It's like, well, we got a mask. We got permission to go through here.
a level of perceived safety. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, whatever. I'm like, this is the exit. We're trying to do protocol. I'm sure you're probably the first person to beat somebody up because they can do something right. You know, but, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, I have a humorous side. I try to find the humor in it. And so I'm thinking to myself, and then I'm kind of like walking this way. Like, but it says exit, sorry, you know.
So it's tough. Like, yeah, it's tough. I think because, you know, there's so much ironic conflict, you know, in it, in a time where it's so important, I think so important that we are becoming extraordinarily aware. Mm-hmm. We're also inundated, you know, with stresses and distracted in our own minds and not aware, like, oh, this is the exit now. Or, like, there's a certain level, like, in some ways, we're seeing more things clearly, and in other ways, not seeing things at all. So it's an interesting dichotomy.
You know, it's funny because when I grew up, my dad used to tell me, he goes, well, if you don't want to do the time, then don't do the crime. He used to say stuff like that to me.
And so, what kind of a child were you, Iggy, that he's got to tell you that all the time?
No, I was just a mischievous child, but, you know. But, you know, we grew up in the time where you didn't throw things out the window, you know. You know, we had Smokey the Bear, you know, we had Hootie Owl and all those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't even dare throw a piece of paper or anything out the window, you know, or an apple. But, you know, I coach soccer kids, and they'll throw banana peels out the window. And I go, hey, put up in a close spot to grab one.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everything biodegradable in its own place in the right time, you know. It's just funny. I just remember all those, that programming as a youth, you know, in schools, how they want us to don't litter. Get litter bug. And that kind of carried out into my adulthood because I'm really cautious about things like that. And that's kind of what I think put me on the path to, you know, to do the work I do, because I care about my mother. I care about what she stands for and what she gives us every day. And all that. So that's one of my big big works is Pachamama work, you know, permaculture and all the stuff that I do.
Yeah. And the earth has gotten a great big opportunity to breathe right now too. You Absolutely. Know, so you know, us being in quarantine and like me talking about like I have an opportunity to breathe. Yeah. I think about the fact that like the earth's having an opportunity to breathe. You know, the birds are breathing better. I see these pictures sometimes on, and I'm sure some of them are Photoshopped, and I know that some of them are not, you know, or, you know, taken out of context, but, you know, and the difference in air quality, the things like, you know, how they're able to see the Himalayas in India, you know, that they haven't seen in like what, 30 years or something.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I saw that picture.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And yeah. It's not like smog and air quality changed overnight, right?
Right.
It's a factor that creeps up on you, just like our own programs, just like our own habits, our own issues. Like it's a process. And, you know, the place that we're in now, this knife cut, this hatchet that changes everything, is giving people a real opportunity to say, look at things and say, see, this could be different. And you didn't even realize that it could be different. It probably, you know, think about how many people were born in that area in India in the last 30 years, that it never would have even occurred to them they might be able to see that view. It never occurred to them, you know, or occurred to people, you know, in my neighborhood, how many birds they might hear.
Yeah.
You know, just simple things. And when I look at that, I think this is a great opportunity for all of us to look and see if we all just made little changes, right?
Yes.
How much healthier the earth and all the things that live on it, not just us, would be. How much better balance. And that's one of the great things I think that might come out of this particular pandemic is, you know, clients of mine were very, very hesitant to move to phone sessions because they really were used to that in-person contact, and that's how they thought it would work best. And
right.
But they've been forced to move to phone sessions if they want a session. And what they're finding out is that it works just fine. And, oh, by the way, I just saved an hour because I didn't have to drive a half hour to your place and a half hour back, right? That's emissions, not in the air. That's noise reduction, right? So how many people are learning that they can work from home? How many companies are learning that they could reduce their footprint in the world for, you know, sprawl, reduce their utilities, reduce the wasted space of the earth that we're just chewing up with office buildings and endless, you know, people, habitation.
Yes.
If you just let people work from home,
yeah.
Right? As long as it works and as long as people can manage themselves, and you know, there's going to be people who always are going to do better working in a particular environment, but there's a tremendous volume of people who are going to be far more efficient from their own space.
Right.
And this change could have not just huge, I mean, we've been talking a lot about the impact and empowerment of people, but the people can be empowered to impact the earth in huge ways here, whether you're the employee or the employer determining how you're going to move forward, right? Mm-hmm. Why would you pay for a giant building for a bunch of people to be a call center when they can all work from home, you know,
and
save gas, save, you know, save wear and tear on the roads and infrastructure problems, you know, they're happier. There's less contamination. Like there's just less issues across the board.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of opportunities for that, I think. And hopefully through this process, you know, the earth is going to, I mean, I don't think it's going to stay this way, obviously. So I'm sure air pollution is going to go up and noise pollution is going to go back up, but hopefully it's less than what it was.
Right.
Hopefully there's, you know, if nothing else, everybody walking out into their backyard and going, wow, I hear the birds. I didn't know there were birds around. That little acknowledgement of nature, you know, has an impact. There's a ton of studies out there, you know, around how much more engaged people were in saving the dolphins or saving the whales if they saw a video of one or if they had an opportunity to interact with one. So when you don't have, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. When you don't have that interaction,
yes,
it doesn't register really with you, you know, or at least to the same extent. So I think in some ways the earth is saying, hey, look at me. See, I'm here. You know, I'm a bird and I'm choking on fumes and I could be singing in your backyard instead.
Yeah. I noticed that the skies are a lot bluer.
Oh yeah. We were talking about that. Like, and the lack of plane trails.
Yeah.
In the sky has been pretty shocking. I mean, I grew up with a dad who was forever, we grew up outside, you know, camping, fishing, canoeing. And my dad was forever like, look at this, look at that, see that owl, you know, see that 4-inch bird 2 miles away. Like, so you just trained to look at those things. That's how we were, you know. And so I look at those nature things a lot, and there's pretty drastic differences, you know. Yeah. And again, being a gardener too, like watching the skies, is part of that process. It's been a very different spring, and it can't all be coincidence.
No, I'm a big believer in collection too, that Mother Nature is going through that process of cleansing purification. Even if we dumped it out there, that virus didn't dump it out there, you know, whatever. This is an opportunity. Mother Nature picks no favorites. She pretty much says, these are my children. You know, I love you all. And so I believe that there's some validity to that. So the selective nature will select the fittest, the strongest, and weed out the herd a little bit. I hate to be that way and think that way, but it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I had this vision about this, that unfortunately we have to go through this because Mother Nature has a way of also controlling things on this planet. Mother Nature is a sentient being that's very much alive, like you and I. And she has some purpose that we can't sometimes understand because we don't look at her that way. The majority of humanity doesn't look at her like we are talking, like you and I are talking. And she shakes, and 100,000 of us die, you know, because that's just how it is. That's, we are actually the visitors. We are actually the children. We are actually here, you know, by invitation. And, you know,
well, we're the parasite on the host.
Yes, we are.
And I don't mean that as a, you know, degradation of human beings in general, but like just from the nature of it, like we live off of the host.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just like things live off of us inside. We're a mother Earth too. So.
Yep. You know, it's a continual, like, you know, all things are connected. And you and I are on the same page with that. Like we talked a little bit about that earlier too. When you understand how can that things are actually connected and how all things are connected, you look at the world differently, you interact in the world differently, it becomes part of just how you function and how you think. If you only intellectually buy into the idea that things are connected, but it doesn't have any tangible anchor in you, you'll struggle, you know, I think to think about the big picture or resolve why is this happening or how does this happen. And I think that, you know, the situation that we're all in, but like there's no way to look at this and not realize just how interconnected we all are.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I think that's one of the greatest gifts that's coming out of all of this is that, you know, you might have been, and this is no disservice to any particular person in any particular job or demographic, but, you know, if you were the president of Bank X living in a, you know, $1.2 million house or probably more than that, I wouldn't have any idea. And your world is over here, right? You might theoretically know that all things are connected and that you're connected to grocery store, stock boy, stock girl, Y. Right. But now, the fact that you're so connected, like that stock person could get COVID from you or you could get COVID from that person, right? Yes. That level of connected, your survival here depends on this person showing up for work, stocking that stuff, or driving that truck of goods here. And I think that the process that we're all in is forcing people to recognize that connectivity. And if they can, if people can recognize the connectivity between themselves within their own race, that's going to allow them to recognize the connectivity in a bigger picture. I think it's really hard for people to buy into, especially from a functional standpoint, to buy into the concepts of being connected to Pachamama if they don't, one, they're not connected to themselves, and two, they don't really understand the connection within their own species, let alone how their species connects with others. So it's a great hardball lesson, you know.
Well, it is, you know, and I, you know, that's the foundation of my work, you know, all my relations. Mm-hmm. It's good to be here. And I get it and I understand. And I think a lot of people are coming to understand who are associated with me. That we're in this is, there's no separation. There's no, we're not going to, we could, you know, we're all very much connected in many ways. We will always be connected. And, you know, this land right now that we're borrowing from our children and our grandchildren is on loan to us. So we have to leave it in the best way we can and leave a better footprint, a better, you know, place than when we found it. But unfortunately, it takes something like this for us to wake up a little bit. Some of us will wake up and some of us won't, really. Some of us will just go right back to the old energies because it's comfortable, well, like sure. You said.
Change and is hard.
And some of us are going to go, what happened to Iggy? Where's Iggy? Where'd he go? You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be people. Fear is a big controller. Comfortableness. Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things that the other side has always said is that human beings have not evolved to a place where they are well motivated from places of contentment. Mm-hmm. That they tend to only be well motivated for change or growth from places of discomfort and distress. And because of that, they will continue to create discomfort and distress as part of their growth pattern until they evolve past that need. Yes. You know, and this is a great example of that. You know, if people aren't going to change and take care of the earth, if they're not going to take care of themselves, and they're not going to take care of each other, and they're not going to take care of the other living things on the planet or the living planet, then, you know, the universe, in, from my perspective, goes, oh, this hasn't been obvious enough to you. Let's try again. Oh, you didn't get that one either. Okay, let's try a pandemic, right? So if we don't get this, you know, and then this is not a statement of fear, but like, if we don't get this, what's it going to take? Right?
Yeah.
Because change is, in this culture, change is not allowed. We have this facade of, sure, you can change your mind. People tell you that all you can be whatever you want. You can change your mind.
Yeah.
But no, you can't actually. Financially, you can't in a lot of cases. You can't go back to school for another 4 years and $60,000. If you're lucky, that's all it costs you. Mm-hmm. You know, no, you can't change your mind. So the idea of free will choice as a concept is there, but the functionality of it hasn't been there. And I right. think that's part of what really is changing or needs to change. And this is part of is allowing, forcing really the concepts of flexibility. You know?
Yeah. I mean, society is kind of like, hey, my suit, you know, and then you're comparing your suit to the next person's suit. You know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're just kind of going through this ebb and flow of who's got more, who's got less. You know, at this point, you know, like you said, it doesn't matter if you have money. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter anything. Right now, it's right in our face, and the potentiality of whatever can happen, some of us will escape through it pretty simply. Some of us are not going to be so lucky. But that, just that, having that thought in your head and making you think, wow, you know, I could be, you know, let me change mm-hmm. the habits that I used to do, you know. Now I'm going to do things a little differently. Now I'm going to look at things a little differently. And that's what I'm hoping people find some kind of peace in their heart when
me
they're
too.
Moving through this. Because I know that it's hard. I know people have lost family members. I know that they've lost family members just to natural causes too, and not been able to celebrate their lives and grieve with them in the proper form that they wanted. But you know, this is a good time for, you know, the introspect, you know, the work on ourselves. And I know I've been doing it. I know you've been doing it. And I know a lot of people have been doing it. And I think some people have been doing it, just don't even know they're doing it. And,
I don't know how you could not do it right now. I don't know how you could be in quarantine and not be cornered into that in one form or another.
Well, you know, some people are stubborn. But, you know, but I believe that no matter who you are, you're going to come out here thinking a little different. You know, you're going to come out here yeah. with a different thought. Your approach is going to be a lot different.
I think that for me, the thing that I am hoping for, I agree with what you're saying too. I think that if I had a wish, you know, for people in general, but especially through this particular process, I think that I would wish that whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. they see it as they're choosing into that. You know, you may choose to still do your laundry. You may choose to still not recycle, right? Mm-hmm. But it's because you're choosing it, not because you have to, right? I think there's so many things that we do habitualize that we don't think about, you know, and some of them are beneficial to us and some of them not. Yes. Some of them we don't even know, you know, or they look beneficial, but they're not, or whatever that might be. But I think that the sense of empowerment that you get from recognizing that everything that you're doing, what you're eating, mm-hmm. where you went to, who you spoke to, what you said, how you said it, whether you did your laundry or not, like every single one of those things, did you get dressed today? They're all a choice, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to get dressed. You don't have to wear clothes, you know, and people will laugh at that, but like you can move to a nudist colony. You can walk around naked all day.
Yeah.
You could go to your job interview Absolutely. Naked. They might not hire you, but you could do it. Right. And so when you start seeing things like, and life is made up of all these small things, right? So mm-hmm. when you start seeing that your life is everything in it is a choice. I took this phone call by choice. I did my laundry, not because I had to, but because I actually found out that I like clean clothes. Sometimes I find out that I'm perfectly happy in dirty clothes too. And I'm fine with that.
Sure.
But you, when you recognize that and live in that, I would hope for people to see all of those things as that choice. So they could also quit talking like, oh, I have to go home and let my dog out. I have to go cook dinner. No, you don't have to go cook dinner and you don't have to let your dog out. Your dog will suffer, you know,
right.
and somebody will be hungry. But if you stop speaking in those have to's, you can reverse engineer yourself into genuine choice. Or you can actually operate in genuine choice and your language will follow that. Either way, it will work, but it's got to, you know, I would hope that it would start somewhere. And that would be my wish for people, you know, if to come through this is that you're having an opportunity to look at all these things like, this is a choice. I'm wearing this mask or not wearing this mask as a choice. I'm going to work or not going to work as a choice, or I'm going to this particular type of work, or, you know, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter to me what it is, but that they see mm-hmm. it as choice. That's to me, that's empowerment.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Because we're already wearing masks to begin with. You know,
this is not any different than I always reference the human experience, like Catholic school, you know, it's, you got a uniform in the shape of skin of some form. And there's a bunch of rules that pertain here that don't really exist in the universe. They just work here, just like a Catholic school. So
this is true, which I went to Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Well, so I get that reference.
Yeah,
absolutely. Julie, so let me ask you a question. How can someone get a hold of you? I mean, do you have a website? What information?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I have a website you can go to, julienorth.com, JULIENORTH.com. And, you know, if you're looking to schedule an appointment or something like that, there's a contact form on there. And I have an assistant named Karen who does a fabulous job. She helps everybody get scheduled. All of that's done through the website. There's a YouTube channel where all of these free classes that I've been doing are getting posted for free. So if you want to rewatch it or you missed a class, you couldn't make it, you can go watch all of those and you can get to that YouTube channel. You can search YouTube as well, or you can get to it through my Facebook or through my website, any of those.
Awesome. So I want to ask you real quick before we sign off here, sure. if there's anything you want to leave with our listeners, something that you didn't get to say, that you wanted to share.
There's always so many things, so many things.
Okay.
I think the thing that I see and feel the most in people right now is the sense of disconnect. And I recognize that you're all going through a level of disconnect as a means of finding yourself, you know, and finding your place. But the perception of disconnect doesn't mean the fact of disconnect. There's a difference. And sometimes we have to step back in order to reach in authentically. And I would wish all of you an opportunity to find your authentic self so that when you reach back out into the world, when you reach into your relationships, when you reach into your actions and your choices, it's the authentic you that is engaging in the world, and that maybe we can all step out into a world that maybe has a lot of varying directions to it, but it's all genuine and it's all from the heart, it's from the core. And there's a, you know, when you can accept your authentic self, it's easier to accept somebody else's authentic self, whether it agrees with yours or not. And awesome. And I would encourage everyone to try to find their authentic self.
Beautiful. Well said. I will work on that. I will authentic self.
Well, thank you, honey, so much for having
all
me
right,
on.
Julie.
This has been an interesting conversation.
Well, you know, like I said, I just wanted to go in a different direction than a lot of people would probably think we would have gone.
Well, who knows where we would go at any given
day. And I think you were worried that we were going to go someplace.
I didn't have any idea. And that's my favorite thing. Like, I love spontaneity and I love going with the flow of whatever it is. So if that's where it goes, I'm all in.
And that's why it's the Iggy Garcia Live, the Naked Shaman Show, you know, because it's laid all out, you know. Just
See, the naked references we were making earlier fit perfectly for you.
Yeah, that's it. That's my intro to my show. Well, Julie, thank you very much. It's a blessing, and it's always a pleasure to be in your presence and just get to think a little bit and share your thoughts and your feelings. That's why our show is called With Insights, because we believe everybody has within them insights that they want to share or need to share with the world. So it's a blessing. Thank you very much. And
thank you, honey. I appreciate the work that you're doing in the world. It really matters.
Thank you very much. And that means a lot to me. And as well, we will keep in touch and let's not be strangers.
Absolutely.
Let's see what we can do, and I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much, honey.
All right. You're welcome. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in today. That was my friend, Julie North. She's an amazing person, amazing being. She brings a lot to the community here in Columbus, but she also brings a lot to the world. You know, when she touches one life, and that one life goes out and touches another life, it's just like a pebble in the water, watching the ripples expand. And that's Julie, that's my friend, that's kind of things that she does, and I'm really fortunate to be associated with her and with many other beautiful people. And so we hope that you got something out of our show today and this interview with Julie, because I think it's important to come from different angles and different perspectives and see the world in different ways, because it's so easy to get caught up in the mundane. It's also easy to get caught up in this new energy and this uncertain energy, and it's nice to just be able to have a fresh look at things, that there's possibilities for growth, possibilities for these amazing, amazing opportunities to do some things that sometimes we don't get to in our normal lives. So with that, I want to say it's good to be here. Ho'oponopono, matakuyasin, namaste. Anything that your alignment way, you know, let's do it. Let's go out there and let's make this a better place. Peace and love to everybody. And we'll see each other soon.